Over 5 million people play football in the USA. And here to bring it to you in the raw, uncut, unadulterated, is the undisputed number one sports show in Atlanta and abroad. 100 Yards of Football, live from headquarters. It's more than a game, more than a show. It's where football blends culture, economics, and society. Tap in, tune in, and lock in to 100 Yards of Football now.
Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all of your sports betting needs. Head over to the website or use your mobile devices to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports and play your favorite games. Bet online, where the game starts.
Welcome to 100 Yards of Football, and tonight is our Legends segment. I'm your host, Bobby Butler, and tonight we have a true Delray Beach, Palm Beach County, South Florida, United States legend, and Mr. Dennis Murray. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, man? I'm doing okay.
Man, it's good to have you on, man. I've been wanting to do this show with you for a long time. So I'm going to just start talking about you, because in Delray we have so many legends, but most of those legends are football legends, right?
That's right.
But we're going to talk about you, because what you did, you played tennis in high school at Carver High School. You yes. ran track at Carver High School, right? And you coached me at high school.
Last year, we had a tennis team.
You had a tennis team. And who was on that team at Carver High? You had Curtis Mitchell?
Who? Yeah, but Carver go back further than that. We were the team. In 1958, the course at Carver was built at Carver. At Teen Town, Pompey Park.
Right, exactly.
The course was built in 1958. Mm-hmm. At the height of segregation.
Oh, wow. And so how many courts did we have? One, two?
We only have two. And right. And see, Pompey Park tennis court program was one of the best kept secret. Wow. We had even the director didn't know Venus and Serena trained out there for 5 years.
Oh, wow, man. That's
they
awesome,
didn't know,
man.
You know.
Right, exactly. So let's start here, Coach. Let me ask you this question. So, how did you get inspired to even start playing tennis yourself?
Oh yeah, I live in Ponceana Heights, right across from the tennis court, right? Mm-hmm. And so I used to watch Zach Strong. A couple other people used to come out there to play, mm-hmm. along with Miss Breford. Do you know? You ever heard of Miss Breford?
Oh, yes, I know Miss Breford real well. Yes, I do.
Yeah, Miss mm-hmm. Breford went to school with Athena Gibson, and she was on the tennis team at FAMU with Athena Gibson. Wow! And they used to come out and play all the time. I used to watch them play, you know.
Wow!
But when I went to college, and I went to the Army and came back, and that one of the things I wanted to do is start that program back.
Awesome. Well, let me ask you a question. All right. So we talk about Miss Breford playing with Athea Gibson. For some of these young people, tell them who Athea Gibson was or is.
Athea Gibson, she learned to play by a guy by the name of Dr. Robinson. And along with Arthur Ashe, she trained, but she was on FAMU tennis team.
Okay.
She was on the FAMU tennis team. Wow. And back in the day, she couldn't play tennis. You know, she couldn't play tournaments sanctioned by the USTA. Mm-hmm. So they developed their own. They created their own program.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they said every year they go to the USTA trying to certify players to play in the US Open, and they would turn them down. You wow. Follow me?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, they said, if you win your ATA, which is a black league, just like a Negro
right.
baseball, you mm-hmm. had a Negro tennis program. Okay.
Wow.
And so that year they won, she won the ATA Nationals, and they gave her a wild card, and she was invited to the ATA. Wow. I mean, invited to the USTA to play the US Open. And wow. she won the US Open. Wow. And everybody, she was considered a mystery player. they didn't know where she come from, you know. And then they invited her to Wimbledon. They invited her to, and she won all the, except for Australian Open.
Wow. See, a lot of people don't know about her.
ATA is the oldest. To tell you a little about the ATA. Mm-hmm. The ATA is the oldest African-American sports organization in the United States, wow. called the American Tennis Association.
Wow.
It was started in 1916. They played their first match in 1917. Mm-hmm. And that was great players during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really good players. Mm. And Arthur Ashe was a friend of mine. He would tell me mm-hmm. that there's a guy by the name of Jimmy McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
He would be considered as the best tennis player of all time.
Wow.
You can look him up, Google him.
Okay.
That guy was taller than Ash, faster wow. than Ash.
Wow.
Ash would admit mm-hmm. that he is not the best black tennis player,
wow.
but he was the first black player to win the at that time during
mm-hmm.
that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you Google Jimmy McDaniel, you'll see that guy was so good.
Wow.
And he went down in the Tennis Hall of Fame, though.
Did he?
But he did a lot of good things, too.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's amazing when you hear these stories about the old time. You know, when you just mentioned Mr. McDaniels, but Arthur Ashe was the one who truly made it happen that we know about today. Same thing in baseball, you know. Jackie Robinson got the first opportunity, but Jackie Robinson was not the best African-American baseball player at that time. But he was the one that they brought up, and he made history. But we have a lot of history like that, a lot of unknown things that people don't know about that need to be shared. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I just got back from Atlanta. You know, when I talked with you, I was in Atlanta to a tournament. I took a kid.
Uh-huh.
He matter of fact, he won the tournament in Atlanta.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah. He's a superstar. He's a level 3 tournament, national tournament. And he took it.
How old is he?
He's 16, just turned 16 a couple of days ago.
Oh wow. Where is he from?
He's right here. He originally from Hilton Head.
Okay.
But I've been coaching him. But he's here now. He live in Boca.
Right, right.
He live in Boca. And I've been coaching him now for ever since he was 4 years old.
Oh, wow, man. That's special, man. Well, man, you done helped a lot of people along the way, you know, reach great heights and track and field as well. Because I remember, hey, coach, you know what I remember about you? When you coached me in high school in track and field, You're on the staff with Coach Ed Harris.
Yes.
The day that I broke the 100-yard dash record, you were the one who had the clock on me that day.
Yep.
I'll never forget that, man.
Yeah, and also, you was like, you know, back in the day, I know your objective was to play a quarterback. You remember
that?
Yeah,
absolutely.
You were the best quarterback I had ever seen.
Wow, thank you.
But it wasn't your time yet.
Right.
It was your time, but it's now. If you would have been coming up right now, it would be your right. time. You know,
absolutely. But you know, that's okay. I still had the opportunity and took advantage of what I could. So.
Yeah, because I remember telling you that you wanted to play. I was saying You didn't want to run track at the time, and I kind of talked you into it. I talked you into it, and I say the NFL only taking the fastest one, whatever position it is.
So taking the fastest one.
I still got pictures at the state where I think you got fifth in the state.
I got fourth
in the state. I still got those pictures. You ran against Houston McTeer.
Uh-huh. All those guys, man.
And Love, that
Leroy Love.
Can nobody beat them boys.
Hey, there's some bad boys now. You got that right.
Houston McTeer and that dude named Love. You remember they was passing those notes around what they was gonna do to each other?
Uh-huh.
You remember that?
I remember that.
and they struck out at record timing. They came out the blocks at record timing.
Record timing.
And Houston McTeer got halfway and started reaching back for come on. I said, oh my goodness, look, this man got a chance to break all kinds of records. You know?
All kinds of records, man.
He wasn't too bright.
yeah, but I tell you what, records are made to be broken. You know, there's some kids, Coach, and you know this, who are born with everything they need to be successful. But because of the outside life and other things that distract them, they don't know how to train. They don't know how to discipline themselves to stay out of trouble, being in person, people of integrity, doing the right things. You know, they fall real short of the abilities that they have. And so, you know, you got a guy like Houston McTeer, who was a 9-flat 100-yard dash, broke the world record as a 17-year-old. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then, you know, 3 years later, you don't hear from him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
amazing. They fell by the wayside.
They fell by the wayside. But yes, so let me ask you this. Okay, so a lot of people, tennis is a well-kept secret, especially with African-Americans, right? But I can remember when I was a kid seeing you on the tennis court all the time.
Yeah.
I remember seeing you at the tennis court, and you was a lifeguard at Teen Town Pool back then.
I ran the pool. Yeah, I was a water safety instructor.
Pool, right?
I was the only one in Delray at the time.
At the time, right?
That was a secret there. We had the only pool in town.
We had
before
the
they built Atlantic Pool, yes.
That's right. And then one of the things that I learned in that pool, I learned how to dive in that water.
Uh-huh.
Watching Chatty Vincent and Floyd. Remember Tall Floyd?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, watching them dive, man, I try to emulate everything.
They got late start.
Yes.
They got late start. Yeah. I'm still on.
So I mean, talk about that. I mean, it was so many different sports other than football that we can compete in. I mean, we had athletes everywhere.
Yeah, because I watched them all grow up. I watched you coming up as a quarterback, and I said, oh my goodness, that guy can be, he will be fast. You know, what you call that when you be moving in the backfield?
Motion.
Yeah, you can move around. You could have been a running back. Yeah, you were so fast, man. And
yes, sir. Those are the fun days. But when we think about football, and we're not going to be talking a lot about football, but there was a lot of great football players come out of Delray Beach. And during the time, what year you graduated from Carver? 60?
I graduated in 66, but I remember all the teams back in the day.
Right.
Carver opened in the old Carver. We call the old Carver and the new Carver.
Uh-huh.
You know, old Carver was Spady Elementary.
Spady Elementary, right, exactly.
Yeah, I started there until the eighth grade, and then I went to Carver High School, the new school, in 1958. School.
Over there in Carver Park.
And, I went in 59. It's 6. I think Caesar was there in 59, I think 58, right?
Right. Bill Caesar and Red Odom and
Red Nick. Odom, all those guys.
Yeah.
There was a step ahead of me, but ahead I remember those guys.
Nate Collins and all those guys.
Nate Collins, all those tough guys.
Yeah, man.
And
I'm just finding out about those guys. You know, I knew Red Odom played football because he coached me at the Delray Rocks. But I didn't know about them or really got to know about what they did, you know, until about a year ago. And so they were a special group of guys.
Oh, yeah. I remember they I remember the time when they wouldn't let nobody score on this field.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And they wouldn't let nobody score on the new Carver, the new Carver, when we got our new field.
Right.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, I was there, a couple weeks ago, and in and out of there, and I went by the old Carver High School, and, you know, you got another school right on top of it now, Village Academy, and the football field have trailers out there now, and it was kind of sad. You know, I know it's a new day and things are happening, but it was kind of sad to see that because I got so many fond memories watching my guys play Anthony Penn, you know, Greg Dawson, Pop Grover, and Abraham Wooten and guys like that, you know. And so you go by there now, and it's not the same old place.
I get teared up every time I think about how they did Carver. You know, we had a lot of, speaking of records, we had a lot of records that we had broken. Mm-hmm. And once they phased out our school, Carver High School, that went all the records.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a tough part because, you know, when I think about them, let me say it this way. And I'm not just saying this. I know Atlantic High School, we've played in about 5 or 6 state title games since we all, you know, went to Atlantic, and we haven't won a championship yet. But Carver High won back-to-back state titles the first year that they were allowed to play the white schools for the whole title. They won back-to-back state titles, 68 and 69. But it was a special time. And those guys to this day still remain my heroes, right?
Yeah, I remember those guys.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this, Coach. I mean, you grew up playing tennis. So tell me about you in track and field, because I got some information on you in here. Mr. Pompey put some stuff together about all the athletic programs from 1944 to 1964. And got not only football, got girls and boys basketball. Got boys track.
Did you say the girls was undefeated? Nobody could beat them.
Nobody could beat the girls basketball team.
And as then long on top as I can remember.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I see you in here. Let me find it. These are the what's that stand for? The conference or regional champions. You know, you were a regional or conference champion in the 80 yard run. Also the mile run.
As a matter of fact, you talking to the state champion of the mile run.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Yes, I was a state champion. And see, I chose the mile because back in those days, you didn't see too many black folks running distance.
Right, exactly. That is true.
And I ran cross country. I was all American and cross country in the mile, especially. And when I came back home, that's why I wanted to get kids into non-traditional sports.
Yes, absolutely.
Like our coach got how to dive. It breaks my heart. Patrick Marsh.
Yeah.
I taught him diving.
Yes.
And he was like a state champion.
Okay.
But this guy, jumped off that intercoastal bridge and paralyzed himself.
Paralyzed himself, right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He was very popular.
Yeah, I know him because, you know, I used to date his sister when we were young, Robin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Patrick was a great athlete. Man, that's the thing about Daryl Ray. You got so many great athletes. I mean, we can sit here and talk all week and not even touch all the athletes that come out of Delray Beach. Little Delray Beach, right?
Oh, man.
I see here you also, did you run track with Walt Stevens?
Walt Stevens? Man, what you talking about? Walt Stevens with the baddest jumper I ever seen run that 220 and the 100-yard dash.
Yes, sir. He was a bad boy. You know, we all grew up thinking, you know, Walt was just a football player, right? But to be honest with you, he was a track star.
He was a track star. All those guys, everybody who ran. your objective, everybody wanted to do something for to represent your school.
Absolutely.
They want to make sure you have the best player for, you know, for the team. That's what Coffee,
right.
You know, Coffee went to Boca and had two championship teams.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys, they fired Coffee because he wouldn't play those rich kids.
Right.
Coffee told him that he gonna play the best guy for the job.
Absolutely.
So he went to Miami and created a dynasty down there.
He invented the Soul Bowl. It went to Northwestern, man, and it was Carver High all over again.
That's right. He won state champion.
Oh,
and
yes,
then he went to Jackson.
He went to Miami
and
Jackson.
Won championships with Jackson and he created the Soul Bowl.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the Soul Bowl, Coach.
Okay.
They said they just sit about 40,000 there. Is that true?
Easy. 40,000 or 60,000 in the Orange Bowl.
For a high school
people will buy a new outfit just to go to the Soul Bowl.
Hey, that was like the classic, wasn't it?
it was the black classic.
It was the black classic of high school football.
Yeah, I heard about that, man.
People would come,
you know, they come for miles and round. You know,
right.
I mean, it's just like a big classic, you know.
Yeah, man.
They call the Soul Bowl. It was so big.
No doubt. So let me ask you a couple questions. I'm gonna mention some names. And I want you to tell me what you know about them.
Okay.
Granville Dorsett.
Man, that's the guy who inspired me. I was about to quit. And he told me, I was about to quit track.
Uh-huh.
And he told me, he said, no, don't you do it. Because believe it or not, I started out as a high jumper.
Okay.
And I used to jump 6'3" in the ninth grade.
Oh, wow.
And I tried to jump and I slipped because we jump our runway would be the grass.
Okay.
And we land on sawdust. And it rained one day. I was practicing. I ran and I slipped my plant foot slipped.
Uh-huh.
And I reached back and cracked my wrist.
I was paranoid all over again. Yeah. I'm with that, man.
So Granville said, why don't you go run track?
Uh-huh.
So I just started running track, and I got good at it.
Wow. And the rest is history, man.
The rest was history. You know, when I started practicing you guys, I used to run intervals training with y'all. I remember that, bro.
You was in shape, though, dog.
I'd be up there in the front with the guys.
We'd do five 440s. Yes, sir.
I
can see right now when they start talking, we got to run these 440s, 330s, man. I start shaking my head, man. This is going to be a long day.
that paid off.
But it paid off, though, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It really did. And
I remember the time we went to Twin Lakes, I think, mm-hmm. and the guy said they was having a old timers race.
Uh-huh.
Y'all got me to run the quarter.
Yep.
And y'all got around me. I got somebody uniform. I put it on. I didn't have no uniform.
Right.
My time was just as fast as the winning time on the 4-4, real 4-4.
That's right,
wasn't it? Yeah, man. I said, because I did a lot of road races afterwards anyway. So
All right.
I was getting ready, you know, girl, what was the name? Dolores Smith, I think that was the name.
At Atlantic?
Yeah, that girl. What was the name that distant runner we had?
Oh, what was her
what's name? Her name? Is Dolores or nope? Oh,
man.
You know what I'm talking about? She ran the mile. She was good at it, too.
I know who you're talking about. What's her name?
Her last name was Smith.
Oh, man. What's her name?
I remember she married another coach. She married one of the football coaches, a basketball coach.
Okay.
She married one of the the coach. You remember?
She was younger than me, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think she was younger than me. I can't put my hand on it.
Yeah, she was young. I think so, because she was, she was young.
Right.
But she went to the Olympic trials in the distance.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have,
I think his name was MacPherson. I think, you know MacPherson?
I remember MacPherson.
Yeah. Yeah. That's who she married. She married him. He was a school teacher.
Okay. All right.
They got married when she got turned 18.
When she turned 18? Wow. That's amazing. Because some of the guys, do you remember Javaro Sims, Lake Worth?
Man, let me tell you, that was our competition.
Well, you know, it's funny, right? I love to tell this story. It's a true story. And my senior year, my first track meet, first of all, I just got back from basketball. My first track meet, I wasn't in track shape. But, you know, I thought, I'm going to go out here. Nobody out here can beat me, right? And first of all, I finished like fourth in the 100, which was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ran the 4x2, because back then we only had a 4x2. We didn't have a 4x1.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran, I think it was the third leg that day. And I had the lead, and Javaro ran me down from behind.
Javaro Sim?
Yeah, at the Boca Invitational, right?
Uh-huh.
I was so embarrassed. And then after the race, Coach Harris got in my grill and got on me, man, and went off on me, right?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that vocal relays.
But
I can tell you some stuff to make your head spin, but I'm not gonna say it on the phone.
But that was the wake up call I needed that day though, because I went to work after that, and I went to track practice, and I came home at night. I started running and doing some what you call isometric training, and got myself in good shape. And then next thing you know, a few weeks later, the end of the season, I broke the school record in the 100-yard dash.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I remember that. But also, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it was we had the killer 440 relay team. You remember that?
Oh, no doubt. Man, no doubt.
And when we do Varo Sim,
mm-hmm.
sometimes he'll start, and sometimes mm-hmm. he'll anchor.
Yeah, anchor, right.
And I would wait to see what he would. What they put on us first. If they put him up there, I put what's his name? Coffee
started. Right, exactly.
And if he ankle, I put your boy what was his name?
Pee-wee.
We call him
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee, that's him, yeah.
Right. Alpha Strong.
He had a killer.
Alpha Strong.
But I created the international exchange.
Relay. I remember that.
And where we got beyond the target, go back and uh-huh. then you start from back there. That's the international exchange. I brought that to South Florida.
I remember
and,
that.
And remember we got that. By the time they get the baton, we done passed by them so fast.
We gone, man. We're gone.
We already gone. They said it knocked 2 seconds off our 440 relay team. Time.
Yeah, and what we did, we were the fastest relay team in the county.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because we did that international exchange where you start. Exchange
what really made the difference.
Yeah. We started outside. We put the tape down uh-huh. about 20 yards outside of the exchange zone.
Exchange zone, right, exactly.
And then by the time the guy come in there, he flying, you know.
Hey, oh yes, sir. You're going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, but yeah, he's flying coming through there. You just take off and get the tongue.
Yeah, we had a good relay team that year. We had Wendell Thomas, Larry Coffin, myself, and we had a good team. And then Tim Kennedy sometimes ran on the relay.
Yeah, that's right. And then we had the mile relay was good.
Man,
we had the killer mile relay with Don Monroe.
Let me tell you something, man. Don Monroe is one of the baddest dudes. You know, he reminded me of one of my college track teammates, a guy named Walter McCoy, who was a quarter mile.
You ran track in college?
Yeah, I ran my last 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was All-American coaching. And
right.
Guess who's on the track team with me? You remember Mike Robeson, the hurdler from Winter Park?
Yeah.
Who was a great 200-meter guy?
Uh-huh.
He was on the track team, Walter McCoy. You remember Ron Nelson from Rockledge?
Yep.
Ron was on the team running like a low 45 quarter, open quarter. Mm-hmm. Walter McCoy was running 44s in the open quarter. We had some great quarter miles on the team.
I tell you another dude that was very successful in track. What's his name? He ran the hurdles. What's his name?
From where?
Delray. He went to Southern.
Oh man, what you talking about? Alan Cooper.
Cooper, yeah. Oh my goodness.
So coach, check this out. So you know, when I left Delray to go to Tallahassee, you know, a lot of things I didn't know, right?
Uh-huh.
And so when I left, I kind of lost track of a lot of people. And so we're over the Texas relays and we're in the race, and I'm walking around warming up for an event. And I ran into Alan Cooper.
He probably won the hurdles.
Listen, him and a guy named Orlando McDaniel from LSU. Mm-hmm. Both from Louisiana, both schools from Louisiana. Man, they were battling, man. Yeah, Alan Cooper was a bad dude.
I called Willen Davenport, was the coach at. And I told him I had a hurdle. He said, send him down, coach. You know, I ran during the time. You ever heard of Willie Davenport?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I used to see him at track meets, and we was friends. That's where, you know, I was running the steeper chase.
I
would get some techniques from him. And because you got about three hurdles in the steeper chase, you know. So the guy said, and so I told him about Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought Cooper down, man. Cooper was a world-class hurdler.
Oh, he was a great high hurdler, man. He was a great high hurdler.
Yeah, they was action. I think he was sponsored by Eastern Airlines.
Yeah, yeah. So he was on the circuit then.
Yeah, so of course. Yes.
When you're on that circuit, you know, I had Calvin Smith on a couple weeks ago, coach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Calvin was my junior year at Florida State. I ran against him in my first track meet. We ran the indoor track meet over at LSU. You know, all the Southeastern Conference teams, you know, LSU, you know, Alabama, Georgia, all those guys. So Calvin Smith was a true freshman.
Uh-huh.
You know, Calvin Smith was a heck of a sprinter. And then Stanley Floyd was at Auburn.
Gotcha.
The great 100-meter guy. And so, yeah, it was a lot of speed out there, man. And it was good for me to compete because at the end of the day, coach, track was just a tool to help me get better on the football field.
Exactly. That's right. That's what I said.
You know, I tell people, it has nothing to do. I said, if you're a football player.
Boss man. Boss man is another one.
Is another one. You got to get on that.
You know, when I left Atlantic, I was the head track coach at Boca.
Right.
Boca High.
Yeah.
And Boss Man was there, and I told him the same thing I told you.
Exactly. You got to get
That's
out
how
here.
He went on and played professional football.
He did. He did. Now, Boss Man was a big dude.
Yeah.
He was a big dude. And he came, I think Boss Man may be 5 years behind me, something like that maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And because I remember when I was in high school, I was doing I was announcing the Delray Rocks games up in the press box. And I remember Boss Man playing for Bump Mitchell on the 80-pound team.
They're coming over.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, on the 80-pound team.
Yeah, one thing about Boss Man, he also wanted to be a quarterback too when he go to college.
Right.
Yeah. But it just wasn't his time though, but you know, he was like way ahead of himself.
Well, you know, for most of us, well, for none of us back in that day, they didn't deem us smart enough, good enough to play a position. But you and I both know. Hey, listen, I'll never forget when Michael Vick started playing with the Falcons and people started to see him play. And, man, my neighbors and everybody talking about him. I never seen nothing like that. I say, man, it's been a lot of Michael Vicks that never got the opportunity to play.
Uh-huh. You know, yeah, that's what we lacking. I used to put in for a track team for the city of Delray, just thinking for a track field.
Mm-hmm.
I used to put that in the budget every year. Every year was turned down. That's what we need. If we would have been smarter, mm-hmm. if we had opportunity to build a track field.
Yes.
And we would have a lot of more champions, you know.
Well, you know, you think about it, because we do have the talent down there if it can be developed. It's man, all about Coach, it's all about development. And you see it every day in Delray, there's so much you can develop down there on the tennis courts.
In
the pool, swimming and diving, you know, on the track. You know, of course, football is everywhere in Delray. You got trainers and people been training through that forever. You know, that's just been our history in Delray. But we can be so much more if we had, if we were exposed to other things. There's no doubt about that.
That's right. But I tell you another thing, when I come back, they had closed down the pool downtown, right?
Right.
And I was the only person in Delray that's certified as a water safety instructor.
Wow.
So and probably the only one certified, because when the city tried to get, some grant money and doing the affirmative action, the fact that they didn't have any black lifeguards on the beach, they didn't have any certified lifeguard, they pulled me from the Pompeii Park and I went to the beach for a year.
Remember that? Wow.
I was a lifeguard on the beach.
Okay,
Because of my certification.
Right.
Exactly. I end up certifying all the lifeguards in Delray, even the aquatic director.
What?
Yeah, man. I had to certify all the lifeguards in Delray.
Hey, so let me ask you this. Let me see if you remember this, right?
Okay.
You have coached a lot of kids in all kinds of sports.
Yep.
But do you remember, I was a junior lifeguard at Teen Town Pool, and you trained me.
Of course, you. That's right. You the little skinny boy. And see, let me tell you the logic behind that was, they didn't want to hire any lifeguards. They didn't want to hire any. The city wouldn't hire. I would be out there by myself at time, and then when Doba out of school, he'll come
right
and work and. I'd be out there by myself. We have 100 kids. You know how pool would be?
It'd be packed.
And so I had to learn. I had to train some junior lifeguards. I certified them. And I got a lot of kids like that.
I remember you had us treading that water for it was a crazy long time. We were treading water.
That's right.
And I think it was. We couldn't use our arms either. It was just our feet or something like that.
That's crazy. Right, your leg. But I could tell you a little another story. When I went to, you know, like you heard about our beach protest, right?
Yes.
And it was a national news. And see, one thing you probably don't know, that all the black colleges, you couldn't graduate until you passed swimming.
Oh, really?
Because there was so many black folks was drowning, and you couldn't swim at where a lifeguard at, you know, where supervised swimming area. You couldn't swim at a supervised swimming area.
Okay.
You know, you couldn't go to the beach or the pool downtown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was mandatory that you learn how to swim, and then. At our school, Kentucky State, we had the swimming instructor had a PhD. Our swimming instructor had a PhD.
Wow.
And they do a lot of chapters and writing in the Red Cross. So actually it was an aquatic school there, where she taught us, you know, when I call myself swimming. I couldn't swim that good when I came there, man. I could make my way across. She say, "How many kids in this class can swim?" When I took swimming right for the first time, I raised my hand, and everybody said, "Oh my goodness, Dad, I didn't know you wasn't supposed to raise your hand because that lady get on you." She takes tennis swimming serious.
Serious, right?
She said, "I want you to give me the same respect that you give the other teachers." They good at what they do, and I'm good at what I do.
Absolutely.
And she said, "Why are you taking this class if you know how to swim?" I say, "To get an A." Boy, that lady said, "Well, let me see what you could do." I called myself swimming across. She had me swim across and put all the pretty girls out there watching me, man. He must be from Florida, swimming with his head out, out of water looking out for alligators. Wow,
that's crazy, boy. That's crazy. Hey,
but
listen.
She started me from scratch, man. When I finished there,
right?
I mean, I took beginners, advanced swimming, I took lifeguard, mm-hmm. then I took the last thing I took was the water safety instructor.
Okay.
And the night that I graduated, it was a night class. Mm-hmm. That's when they shot Martin Luther King that Friday.
Oh, wow.
And we was finishing up.
Wow.
I said, tough. Oh my goodness.
That's tough, man.
And that was sad. Mm. And all the white kids was running out. I'm like, where y'all going?
Right.
They said they just shot Martin Luther King.
Wow. Man.
And they had to get off that black campus.
Oh, exactly. Right?
I said, they're not gonna bother y'all, man. Ain't nobody gonna bother y'all. But they weren't taking no chance.
They weren't taking no chance. I get that.
The city was burning down, man.
Yeah, man. That's tough. So, Coach, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
You went to Kentucky State.
Yes.
Who else from Carver High went to Kentucky State?
Toe Francis.
Toe Francis, my coach, my basketball coach.
Toe Francis, boy, that he was a bad guard, man.
He was a heck of a basketball player, wasn't he?
Toe came off the year. We won the NAIA 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. That's right.
And he came off the bench and won it the second year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, and then, you know, we were so fortunate. We didn't know how fortunate we was when he left. After he graduated, he came back and started teaching school and coaching basketball at Atlantic.
Oh, yeah. Toe was tough, man.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Toe bus. We used to tease Toe in high school. He'll shoot. He averaged about 30 points a game.
Wow.
But he shoot 100.
Hey.
He'll shoot 100 ball. But in college, if he would have did a lot of shooting in college with all them big guys out there, boy, they would have put him on the bench so fast.
Yeah, he'd have been on the bench. But you know what's amazing, man? He came back and he coached us just like you came back and coached us. So we were so fortunate to have guys like y'all come back and invest in the kids in our own community.
Yeah. And what makes it so bad, with the little resources to do it with.
Little resources, right?
Man, I notice now. They get everything they want now.
Oh, absolutely.
We had to use our own money to get some of the things.
Yes, exactly, right? But you know, you do what you have to do. You know, you do what you have to do. And I tell you, if we can get a track down there and start us an AAU track program, we'll be one of the best in the country, I tell you that, right?
Yeah. They could have got like look at Dillard. I mean, like Sunland Park, they got that nice track field over there.
Nice track right down there. Yeah.
And everybody coming up with, that's what we should have done. That's where all this.
A long time ago. So let me ask you this, Coach. You've been training a lot of kids. Tell me your relationship with Miss Coco Golf.
Man, I coached the Corey himself, and when he was 10 years old.
Her daddy.
The daddy. And I coached him. He played, he was one of the best tennis players back in the days.
Oh,
and
wow.
See, a lot of people didn't know we had a tennis program.
Uh-huh.
They see kids out there playing, but they didn't know that
right.
Corey was one of the top juniors in the country.
Oh, wow.
And awesome. I told him, I said, man, you could be the one, first black to get a scholarship in tennis in college.
Right.
He said he was all around and everything, from football to basketball.
Right.
And he told me the reason he played basketball because there's no girls watching tennis. That's what he said.
That sounds like a man who had a plan.
Yeah, he had a plan. But see, the thing is, he came up during McEnroe era.
Yes.
He came up doing McEnroe. McEnroe was really not good for kids because, you know, that action on the court, you know?
Right, exactly.
And he would emulate John McEnroe.
Wow.
And, you know, he'll get with that same temperament.
Right.
And he'll go on the other side, guy call his ball out. Corey would go on the other side and make, because he was big. He was big for his age.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When he was 14.
Right.
And make them guys change that. he'd be right, though, but, you know, guy just call it out, just trying to get a point.
Right,
Corey was good, and the guy would call him out trying to win, you know.
Wow.
So Corey would make him change that score. And one time I was down in at one of the meetings. I was the chairman of our district tennis chairman. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that many people in tennis back in those days? Mm-hmm. And we were sitting around at the meeting. They said, "Well, there's a guy by the name of Corey Goff down mm-hmm. living Delray. Mm-hmm. He is intimidating the hell out of these kids. He'll come on the other side of the court." and they said, "Mr. Murray, do you know a guy by the name of Corey Goff? He's from Delray." I said, "I don't think I know him." Corey tell that story now, boy. That's when I disown him.
I love it. But I tell you, his daughter's doing a great job, and you know, I mean, you had started working with her when she was very young, right?
Yeah, he brought it to me when she was 4 years old, man. And
wow.
I told him, I said, "Man, you know, I had a lot of kids on the court. It was hitting mm-hmm. her, everywhere, balls going everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this little 4-year-old girl coming on the court." I said, "Man," he said, "I got another one for you, Dennis." And I said, "Man, you be the coach." I told him to be the coach. He
right.
said, "Man, it's been a long time, you know, because even when he had to make a decision on, you know, you had to apply for the WTA.
Right.
You got to apply for it. You got to put. I guess it's for security purposes. You got to put the coach. Who gonna be the coach?
Right.
Who gonna be the trainer? Who gonna be the hitter?
Mm-hmm.
Who gonna be a fitness person? You got to put all that on the thing. So when you go to these places, they know who they dealing with. You
right.
know,
exactly.
For the FBI.
Right.
So. I got him certified as a cert. See, he told me, he came to me and he said, I can't take my daughter on the court.
Oh, wow.
I said, why? He said, because he wasn't certified.
Uh-huh.
I made up one phone call
mm-hmm.
To a friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and the guy said, "Come on down." Corey went all the way to Nashville, Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and a friend of mine certified Corey.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the highest you can get in coaching. So because Corey has skills, but he just have to brush up on it. He's getting better
right,
now.
Right. right.
But he hadn't played in years.
In years, right.
So,
right.
So Corey went up there, got certified, and then he said, "Now I'm looking for a guy." He was looking for a guy
mm-hmm.
To coach his daughter. I said, "Man, you be the coach."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then he said, "No, man, I don't think I'll be." I said, "You can be the coach, man. Coaches are different now. You know,
right.
you got to take a different role.
Right.
The parents are the coaches mm-hmm. these days, and mm-hmm. you could bring them in, bring in the expertise in.
Right. Exactly.
And I said, Richard is the coach of Venus and Serena.
That's right.
You could probably beat Richard,
mm-hmm.
you know, in tennis. But he said, I say Venus, but Venus give Mr. William for coaching $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Serena give him $1 million a year.
Right.
So mm-hmm. you could either charge your daughter $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that million to somebody else, or you give it to you.
For sure. Exactly.
And then Corey said, "I'll be the coach."
I'll be the coach. Absolutely.
Yeah,
it makes sense, right?
I remind him every time I see him. I say, "Look, don't everybody gonna want to come to you. Everybody,
right?
You know, she's the most sought after girl in tennis. Everybody,
oh, no doubt.
Coach her, you know,
no doubt about it. I tell you what, the future is really bright for her, and she's not really too even developed all the way yet.
So not yet. Nope.
Right, and so she's still a baby in that sense. You know, I wouldn't want her to hear me say that, but you know, she's got a lot of growing to do, not only physically but mentally as well.
Exactly.
So she to be where she is right now, boy, I can't wait to see it when she
mm-hmm.
it's gonna
just
be
like so- just like you take Serena, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How old is she? 17?
Yeah, she's about 16, 17. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you take Serena, I followed her ever since. She was she didn't win until she was came 17. She didn't win like Coco started winning early. Winning at 12.
Uh-huh.
And she was winning ITF at 12. She the youngest to ever win ITF.
Mm-hmm.
She won the Orange Bowl, which is another big ITF tournament. She won that at 13.
Mm-hmm.
She won a couple of the Grand Slam juniors,
mm-hmm.
and she was way ahead. And then
she won Wimbledon.
Serena, then she was when she started out at 14, mm-hmm. she would lose 0-0 when she started playing. You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but that I tell everybody. There's no losers in tennis. You got winners and learners.
Right.
And you know you let Corey, you know, like she walked away at a tournament. She lost the first round. She walked away with about $80,000.
Right. Exactly.
Losing the first round.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then one time I seen her walk away with $800,000 too.
Right,
and
exactly.
She didn't win the tournament.
Right.
So hey, everybody.
That don't sound no loser to me, right?
No, man, you can't lose. You can't lose. Cannot lose.
Yes, sir.
Before we end our show today, we'd like to mention one more time this show is presented by Bet Online.
Well, man, listen, man, I'm so thankful to have you on tonight.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure, man.
We got to do this again. I got to get some of your buddies on here at the same time so we can have a crazy time, right?
Oh, okay.
So let's revisit, man. We'll do it again. And thank you so much for being on.
Okay, anytime, man. My pleasure.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show tonight. If you like it, share it, comment on it. This is 100 Yards of Football, and our very special guest, Coach Dennis Murray from Delray. He coached track. He coached tennis. He coached swimming. He did everything for all of us. And so we're so thankful to have him. And still, he's out there right now still grooming kids and training kids. So, Coach, we thank you so much for being on the show.
See all the kids on the court right now?
Oh, my God. There they go.
You see it?
We're still working, Doc. We're still working. I love it, man. All right, Coach. Thanks so much, man.
Okay, take care.
God bless you.
What is your favorite moment from football history? What teams and players are you cheering on? And who will win it all? We want to hear from you, our listeners. Head over to 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch and leave us a comment. We might use your suggestion in an upcoming episode. Tune in daily to the podcast and watch our show live every week. We are 100 Yards of Football Sports Talk Radio on the Believe Podcast Network.